QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. The repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. That's www.bbarc.org. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. But before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
Thomas, good evening, W6AWL.
And good evening there, Art. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, just another plug for the BBARC and the renewals for next year's applications and next year's membership. We are accepting as we go along here. This Saturday night is the November meeting of the BBARC at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station, and it is the election of our new officers. So if you're out there and you're a member and you got a ballot, send it in. I'm looking at about 70 I've received so far, Tom. On the horizon later or tomorrow sometime, I'll let you know what the update is or where we stand with all of that. Just getting everybody involved, and no, it's not a commercial. Come on and join the BBARC. Back to you, Tom. W6AWO.
Okay, Art, good deal. Yeah, I was also going to make that announcement, but you did it for me. I appreciate that. And fantastic. And I do believe we are going to do a ham test session on the Sunday, which actually is December 1st, and that'll actually be the test session for November and December combined. We get towards the end of December, it's pretty congested with Christmas and New Year's Day. Anyway, I do have one guy I'm looking for my VE team, and I will need two other extra class VEs. So get in touch with me, either give me a call or email me at kf6q@arrl.net.
Need me, give me a call and I'll drive on over. W86.
Hey, Mickey, appreciate that. All right, good deal. May have to take you up on that. Anyway, this gentleman actually is really anxious to get his tech, but he's already studied for his general too, so I think he may go straight to general. All right, any other announcements for that?
KJ6KDL.
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
For those who've been anxiously waiting for me to get caught up on the audio recordings, I am caught up to November 19th, so as of tonight I will be behind again. I did have one lost recording from October 15. I'm now using a Baofeng $40 special as my scanner. It's the quality is much nicer and the editing's a lot quicker. So go to my website, Juliet Charlie Lima Lima Oscar Yankee Delta.com. That's JCLloyd.com. Click on the ham radio link, and there's a Tech Tuesday link on that page that opens in a new page, and you can bookmark that one from there on out. And happy listening to those who happen to miss the Tech Tuesdays.
Well, Jim, all of us out there greatly appreciate what you do, and I think you've got Tech Tuesday records going, my gosh, centuries, no, I don't know, whatever it is, three years back. This is, I'm not sure, I think we're getting close to heading on year number four, I'm not sure. But anyway, any other announcements for that, please call KF6Q. one last announcement for the Net 2. If you hear, if you would like to have your name added to our roster every week, send me an email. A lot of this is basically hit and miss, and a lot of people that are sometimes in there, we try to call everybody who's normally in there. But if you would like your name added and it's not on there, just send me an email to ksxq@arrl.net, and we'll put your name on the roster. So, not a problem. All right, topic for the evening, we will be pulling from the December issue of QST, and this is kind of a cool thing. It's actually switching over some of your test gear, radio gear, or whatever. A lot of older gear uses a basically a little incandescent lamp. A lot of them are the old number 49 that used to be out there for years, old radios. And they're basically in there to light up so you can see the dial. Some of these, though, are just a good application of adding in a white LED or some sort out there to basically take the place of that lamp. A lot of good reasons why, and we're going to discuss that this evening. This will be making the switch to LEDs. Starts on page 33 of the December 2013 QST magazine. All right, but let's get the roster going here as I have it, and we can always add names to this. And we will start with my partner in crime, WB6CLZ Mike.
Hey, Tom and everyone on the net, this is WB6CLZ. We're down in Placentia. And hey, I also want to thank Jim for the work he does there in the background recording. And, you know, he's always there when we need him. So thanks, Jim. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for that, and glad to hear you out there, of course. And how about WB6CIN, Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
Cindy, glad to hear you out there, of course, as always, bright and cheery. All right, how about KA6CIA George in Lucerne Valley?
And Tom, KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Glad to have you out there. Next I have Harry and Nancy, but I do believe they're off the hill, and I do not see them on echoing, so we'll just have to skip them. But courtesy check-in for KE6RJ and KE6QI. Moving on down to WA6ITC, Rod.
Yeah, for Mike Williams, WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod. From Lake Williams, glad to have you out there. Let's see, from Redlands, KJ6FIL Mike. I know he'll be joining in shortly. I know sometimes he doesn't quite hit it at 7 o'clock. How about KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary?
This is KJ6KDK.
And KDL again.
And Jim and Rosemary, glad to have you out there this evening, and hopefully you're staying warm. Hope you got all your issues starting to get straightened out there with your heating. All right, moving on down the list here, I do have WB6PBZ, Ray. And nothing heard from Ray out there. We'll move on down to KI6IQA, Kelly. Not hearing Kelly out there. How about K9AOG Stephen from Long Beach?
Good morning, or evening. This is Stephen, K9AOG in the Flatlands, Long Beach.
And good evening there, Stephen. And it could be actually good morning over there quite a few miles away. Take care. Good to hear you out there. How about K6GBL Ron, Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is Ron, K6GBL.
And good evening there, Ron. Glad to have you out there checking in this evening. How about AD6PL Harold in Riverside?
AD6PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you with us. See if he's out there. Sometimes he's mobile. KJ6RAY, Ray.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6RAY Mobile. We'll be here listening.
And good evening there, Ray. Glad to have you out there listening. Appreciate that. Let's see if Clint's out there. I know he does have a report for us this evening. K6LTS, Clint from Harupa Valley.
K6LCS as high as a CubeSat with a bunch of information for you. K6LCS.
Okay, Clint. Very good deal. All right, glad to have you out there. All right, I don't believe Judith and Ken are back yet, so we'll move on down to KJ6PYV. PYV, Dave in Sherwood.
Good evening, Tom on the net, KJ6PYV, checking in. And if you need anybody for Sunday, I'm available. And fishing was excellent, so it worked out well.
I still wish we had pictures. Was that, real quick, was that one like Art made for Field Day?
Nope, it was just a regular fishing pole with a tennis ball on the end of it, and it went as high as I needed to go.
And this is KSXQ with Tech Tuesday in the group. Anybody out there who's listening on this, Dave was launching something in the air for an HF antenna, and pretty cool, tennis ball and a basic rod and reel. Well, good deal. Glad it worked for you. All right, moving down here on the list here. See, I think I have K6YNW, Chris.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Glad to have you out there. And I heard him a little while ago. W6POO, Chip.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is W6POO, no traffic here, Palm Springs, Whiskey 6, Papa Oscar Oscar.
And I might want to comment there, Chip. Very clean, crisp signal there. So whatever, however you're set up, hitting the repeater, very, very solid there. All right, Boulder Bay, Bill, KD6LN. I know he's out there, but I'm not sure what he's doing. He's probably getting ready for Thanksgiving. That's what a lot of us are doing. Okay, let's see. Well, once in a while he's out there. How about Ron, WA6HF? Okay, not hearing Ron. Let's see if we got Shelly in Apple Valley, KJ6QYN. And nothing here. Moving on to page two here with AE6CK, Victor.
Good evening, Tom and Van, everybody on Van Ed, Victor, Santa Fe Springs, and I wonder if we still have a snow in Victor, Alex.
Well, Victor, we got so little of it, just about all of it as far as around the houses is gone. A little here, a little there. However, we have more coming in, and they have been making snow at the resorts. I'm sure they're on schedule for opening, and both Snow Summit and Bear Mountain. They're supposed to get some more in, I think, Friday. So, anyway, there's the snow report. We should do the snow report. Yeah, let's start doing the snow report. Only in the winter, though. All right, moving on down to KA6ROD Rod.
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
And Rod, glad to have you out there. Thanks for listening in and joining us. All righty, let's see. How about W6JET Rob?
Into the net, W6JET.
And good evening there, Rob. Glad to have you out there. And let's see, that is the majority of the list. I can always update this and add anybody else out there who would like to join as a guest or be added as a permanent roster member. Please come back to KO6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Howdy, y'all. This is KK6FJE, Zach up in Sugarloaf.
LAN is late.
KK6FIL, came in on the wrong frequency.
All right, well, Mike, I got you in there, and Bill, and Zach, KK6FJE, I believe that's correct. Zach, you're out there all the time. You want to be added to the permanent roster?
Sure, Tom. I guess that'll work. I try to listen when I can.
Good deal. Glad you're out there. And keep after your buddy. Tell him he's dying to get his tech. Anybody else out there want to check in as a guest and or be added as on the permanent roster here?
Tom, KK6HUB out here listening.
Oh, okay, Bob, KK6 and HUB, is that, let's see, let's see, that would be Harvey Ursula Baker. I know that's not what it is, but that's HUB, like Hub.
Hotel Uniform Bravo.
There's the the proper phonetics. Thanks, Bob. Bob, you want to be added to the roster here?
Surely. Yeah, that'd be nice. Thank you.
Well, Bob, we got you added in there and with Zach, and we'll get you guys on the list there. Anybody else like to check in as a guest or be added?
KK6CXF, Tom in Riverside.
Tom in Riverside, heard you out there quite a few times. You want to be added to our roster, and then at least we'll be on the, you'll be on the list every week.
Would please, I'd appreciate it. KK6CXF.
All right, KK6, and that's EXF. Give me the phonetic on that, please.
Charlie X-ray Foxtrot.
Charlie X-ray, I'm sorry, Charlie X-ray Foxtrot, got you on there. Okay, Tom, got you added. Anybody else out there would like to be added or check in as a guest? Good deal, glad to have some new members added in here, appreciate that. All right, well, let's, first off, I'm going to hand this over to Clint, K6LCS. Had some great news on the ham satellite area of ham radio. Clint, tell us what's up in the sky.
Oh, man, you need to get your calculators out. K6LCS, let's see, 3 plus 29 plus 32, 64 satellites were deployed last week. A lot of them amateur radio related two launches and three were launched off the, or pushed out outside of the International Space Station. The big one is FunCube 1 from the Netherlands and the UK. It is now called AMSAT Oscar 7-3, and after a brief period of testing, it's working great. AO-73 has an educational beacon at 300 milliwatts on the downlink. While the spacecraft is illuminated during eclipse, it's going to run on low power and the UV transponder is activated. If any part of the footprint is in a sunlit area, that's what we call it being illuminated. When the entire footprint is dark, then it is eclipsed. Many QSOs have been made, generally strong signals, until the Keplerian elements stabilize, full Doppler tuning may not be very successful. So go out with your handheld beams and work this guy. The frequencies for the downlink are 145.935 telemetry, 145.935 break per sec. It has an inverting sideband transponder at 300 milliwatts, 435.150 on the up, 435.150, and 145.95 on the downlink, 145.95. There's a bunch of amateur birds. I'm not going to go over all of them with you, but one exciting one. Well, this launch was exciting to me. It was the Dnepr launch at 11 o'clock our time last Thursday night. Last Wednesday night for us. It was not viewable from the Russian Space Agency, but I was invited to a video feed from the Ecuador Space Agency, who had live launch coverage. So only a handful of people on the planet actually saw this thing take off live. Even the Europeans with the FunCube didn't see it launch live, but there was talk about reality TV. There was an hour and a half delay while a ground station was working on their radios to get things working, but it went off flawlessly last week. Break for a sec. Triton 1. Watch for that one. Triton 1 right now is a commercial bird and is tracking ships at sea, but after its 90-day program for that is over, they're going to turn into a UHF-VHF amateur repeater for us. So watch for Triton 1 coming up in the next 3 months. And so we talked about FunCube. Delphi Next, Delphi M3XT, is a CubeSat from the Delft University of Technology. It has a 40 kilohertz wide linear transponder for us. It's working. Cube Bug 2 from Argentina. Argentina! Break for a sec. Cube Bug 2 is a digipeter and data, and most of these are scientific birds that are just sending down telemetry. So they're not like, it's not like we have 52 or 60 some odd AO-51s back in the sky, but we have a lot of things we can monitor, and if you want to decode the telemetry and help out the launch teams, you can do that. 11 CubeSats from NASA were launched the 19th. It was just an exciting week for amateur radio. Keplerian data for these new birds, go to amsat.org for the Keplerian data for most of these amateur birds. And hey, if you're just out there with minimal equipment, at least you can monitor these as they go over and hone your tracking skills. But if you want to work a transponder, FunCube 1, now known as AO73, is up and working marvelously for us. Tom, that's all I've got. I pulled over to the side of the road. How'd I do? K6LCS.
And K6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group every Tuesday that we can. Well, Clint, that's fantastic, as long as you're not blocking traffic, you're over to the side. Fantastic. Sounds like they're getting a lot of stuff up there, and like you said, a lot of this information, if you didn't get a chance to jot it down right there, is available at amsat.org. And I got to tell you, there's a plethora, yes, I said plethora, amount of information there. And, you know, and Clint also has a lot of great information on his site, too. So, well, Clint, thank you very much, and really appreciate you keeping us updated as much as possible. Hope that we can see you again in the near future, if not every week. Always love to hear the stuff from you. Thanks again, Clint. Appreciate that.
One more quickie. A quick one, please.
Sir, go ahead.
Just if you're keeping track, here's some of the countries involved in last week's launches: Norway, the Netherlands, South Africa, Germany, Singapore, Argentina, the Netherlands, Denmark, Italy, Germany, the U.S., Peru, Spain, Pakistan. I mean, they all are having all these, most of them are college projects. So teams all over the planet are working amateur radio, and we can monitor them also out here. All right, thank you, Tom. K6LCS will be merged back into traffic.
Okay, Clint, and a little note there, too. A lot of the countries there, a lot of politics going on in the world these days, but as hams, we bypass all that, and there's a lot of hams all over the world, basically just liking and working other hams out there in the world, so hopefully no political influence on that whatsoever. So anyway, all right, well, good deal. Well, Mike, let's get started here. And tell us who did this article here in Making the Switch to LEDs. KF6Q in the group to WB6CLZ.
Tom, yeah, this article was written by Charles Rankin, WA2HMM. Interesting guy, got an interesting job. He works for one of the Motorola labs in New York, and he runs the lab, the EMIEMC lab, which is a pretty good lab to be running if you're dealing with any LED, especially line voltage LEDs that have power supplies, because they are a little bit noisy. So the EMC, which is electromagnetic compatibility, is a good idea for somebody that is playing around with especially powered LEDs that are connected to a power supply. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal. And it's always interesting to see some of the background of these people who write the articles. And, of course, we did have one article here just recently by one of our club members, and sometimes he's actually on air on Tech Tuesday, and that's Bob, WA6MQF, so good deal. Well, anyway, yeah, if you've got some older gear, and generally newer gear doesn't, you don't see too many with these little incandescent lamps in them, if you have some older gear, It is really pretty cool to replace this out. Obviously, you're not going to get an LED to just screw right in or twist in where the other one was. But we're going to go over this a little bit there, a little bit of theory on LEDs and how they work. And I'll handle that part for Mike. But basically, Mike, you've one of our members out there has actually just had an issue with this, I think. I'm going to hand it back to you.
Tom, I talked to him a little bit earlier, and he claims that it's all over and done with, and he'd forgotten about it. So anyway, yeah, but as I recall, he had a piece of Collins gear that he needed a pilot lamp for and wasn't able to find one. Eventually, I think he did find it, from what I had talked to him. But this would have been a good time to maybe switch to one of the LEDs. I'm not sure about this blue color of LED and Collins gear, although my 817 has got either blue and amber for the dial lighting colors. But for Collins, I don't know if the blue would have been okay, but there's so many different LEDs out there and available that's probably the way he should have gone. But apparently he found the lamp and everything is good to go. So back to you, Tom.
Good deal. Glad that he located that. And I actually have some in a drawer in a little cabinet that's packed away up in the second floor of my garage, which is still not deployed into my new workshop up here. That's okay. One of these days. Anyway, LED-ology. We're going to get into this. Well, what is an LED? Well, I think we've all noticed that VCR all the way back to VCR days, or the now our DVD players and Blu-ray players, anything with electronics, the TV, you'll see a little red light come on there, or it's in standby mode, and then there's a green light, or it may be red and turn green. Multicolored LEDs, they're kind of interesting. But basically, that little device that's putting out the light there, all solid state, no filament of any kind. And the cool part is they last a long, long time. In fact, pretty much indefinitely, like anything else, though, there are flaws and they will burn out at some point in time. But probably one of the most longest-lived parts that you're going to find out there. And they don't draw much current. In fact, typically, they draw about 20 milliamps. Basically, that's about two hundredths of an amp. Very, very low current. And with that said, and let me reset. With that said, of course, there's probably a lot less even than what the little incandescent lamps draw. And of course, like anything else, they typically have, I'm going to say an average of between 2 to 3 volts drop across them. So if you multiply that 2 hundredths of an amp times the, say, 2 volts, we're talking milliwatts of power. Very, very low power. Let me reset one more time. Anyway, on LED-ology, Mike, where's one place you'd probably see one of these? GFCI, what is that? And where else do we, where can you get these things? I'll let you go ahead and take part of that paragraph.
Tom, yeah, if you have anybody that has their bathroom, especially a newer GFCI, go out on you and the LED is still in good condition, yeah, that'd be a good place to rob one. Audio-visual equipment here and there, there are just about everything. I was looking at my little Elecraft K3 here. There's 13, not counting the digital readout, but there's 13 LEDs. Five of them change color, so that's kind of cool. But yeah, they're everywhere you want to look. I mean, you can find little LEDs, maybe cut them out and put them in your junk box. And then with the formulas and information here, you'll be able to use those and determine how much power and what the dropping resistor. I don't know, but probably when I kick it back to you, if you're using it as a current limiting resistor, is that still called a voltage dropper? No, obviously not, but it's a dropping resistor of some sort, I guess. I've forgotten my college electronics already. It's only been 40 years ago or so. But anyway, They are saying that usually the ones you'll find that are in the junk box have no specifications, so they're giving us ideas on how to determine what the resistor is. And I guess, like you said, maximum DC current, kind of you figure, is 20 milliamps. And the red, it says they have a voltage drop of 1.9 to 2.1 volts. The white, from 3 to 3.4, and pretty self-explanatory. Other colors have other values. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, Mike, and you know, a little bit of a brief explanation of voltage drops and stuff like that for those of you who are not real handy with Ohm's Law. Essentially, if you take your LED and one lead, and this specifically would be the cathode, we'll get into that. LEDs are a diode. That's a light-emitting diode. That's where LED comes from. And of course, because it is a diode, it will only work if the power, the DC power, is hooked up in one direction. It won't work in the reverse direction. So in the case of this, anybody who's familiar with diodes, the LEDs work in what we call the forward biased condition. In other words, it's in the condition to that it would normally a diode would conduct electricity. So with that said, anyway, but if you just hook that LED right up to a battery, yes, you will end its life. It will be one big flash. It's not like a regular lamp that you hook onto power, and in itself it has the resistance built into the filament. So the LEDs need a resistor in series with it, and that resistor, of course, determines how much current goes through it. With those voltage drops in this circuit, that voltage will be constant once it's conducting. And of course, the other balance of whatever you hook it up to, whether it's a 6-volt supply, a 12-volt supply, a 24-volt supply, essentially that other part of that voltage will be across that resistor. So using basic Ohm's law, you can figure out how much, what size resistor you need to make sure that you limit the current to 20 mA. And we reset. Anyway, typically, yeah, you're going to have a very simple calc for a 12-volt supply, and I think it's, I forget what the resistance are. We could probably figure that out by the end of Tech Tuesday, and that, for ID, this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Anyway, Mike, they actually have a little deal there on calculating the series resistor, and maybe you could pick up on that.
Yeah, to calculate the series resistor minimum value, what you do is you subtract the forward voltage drop from the operating voltage and then divide the difference by the maximum rated current. And this will provide the maximum brightness. But, you know, you might not want that thing all full brightness. You might want to tone it down for, you know, easier glare conditions on your eyes when you're operating. So they suggest putting a potentiometer in there and of the approximate value, and then adjusting it to where it's good for you, and measuring that value and using a resistor. Also, a decade box would work if you have a decent resistor decade box in small steps. I think you could calculate the value that way. But they say that they want to limit the LED current to 1 milliamp. So, yeah, that's interesting. And, oh, I see. And so you can vary it from 1 milliamp to 20 milliamps. So the maximum, I guess, is 20 milliamps. And the minimum, it looks like, is 1 milliamp. And that should take care of us. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and while we're talking about this, the LEDs we're talking about are basically the older style, what we call LEDs. Some of the newer stuff that we are seeing pop up in house lighting and light bulb replacement and stuff like that, traffic lights, these are what we call high output. They're really a whole new generation of LEDs. Very bright. I'm going to say they're so bright, I don't think you'd want to even put them in this place, because of the fact it'd be like putting a 100-watt light bulb in there. It'd be way too bright.
So that you want to steer away from. But generally, these LEDs, like you say, they're available in grab bags, always in any kind of scrapped equipment. Almost everything has an LED of some sort. So, well, anyway, if you're into schematic reading, the cathode, of course, goes to the negative, most negative, basically through the resistor or whatever, to the negative of the battery. And the cathode, of course, if you remember your diode symbol, that is the bar, and the other one is as the arrow that's pointing at the bar. Well, the arrow side is the anode, and the bar is the cathode. So cathode side needs to go to the negative. Just that's what we call forward biased, and it will work in that form. And so anyway, so you can, like I said, you can play around with these. If you did actually have too much current, it's possible to damage it somewhat, but like I said, that's the 20 mA is pretty much a standard, has been for some time. Anyway, there's a couple points here to consider. Mike, I'm going to hand that over to you. And before we get into modifying the Kenwood, KO6Q Tech Tuesday in the group, back over to WB6CLZ.
And yeah, with that in mind, as far as the lights we're using out in the field, I have I've been putting in 144 watt LED floodlight that is equivalent to a 400 watt metal halide, so very, very bright. Anyway, there are things you have to consider when you do this, and one thing is this thing, when it is dissipating power, they would, in good engineering practice, considers that you should derate your resistor by 0.07. I guess what that means is 0.7 tenths of a watt through a 1 watt resistor. Means that for increased reliability, you should not put more than 7 tenths of a watt in a 1 watt resistor. So you have to derate that when driven from an AC source. And it seems like, well, back to you, Tom. I've kind of lost my place here. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, you know, like anything else, there's if you're dealing with small, low voltages, half-watt resistors usually work fine. Like I said, we've got basically, I guess a simple calc would be 10 volts. Hit your 20 mA, you're going to have like basically 20 milliwatts or two milliwatts, I think, something like that. Anyway, whatever it works out to, very, very, very small wattage. So half watt resistors, quarter watt resistors probably will work for most applications, you know, and that's all good. Well, anyway, let's move ahead here. They actually have a Kenwood SW2000, and he actually went into this. And it's a pair of meters, and he's actually gone in and changed this out. He's upgraded this to an LED. And you know what? One thing, if you're going to go behind the meter, and you got to, they usually have a plastic front, carefully can be removed, and hopefully it doesn't break. Or you have to be careful. Some have screws, so you got to make sure that take caution in that. And then, like I said, this is what he's modified here is an SWR power meter, the SW2000, and essentially replaced that. Kind of cool, neat little operation there, but you know what? You can always just play around these things, and they're very, very cool. And this is just one another application of updating stuff and getting your hands on the soldering iron and stuff and doing stuff like that. This is pretty cool. Well, anyway, Mike, anything else to add? Then we'll send it over to the group.
Pretty interesting that, and he mentions here that, and I've had this experience myself, if you've ever tried to do work like in an automobile dashboard, I mean, they hide those screws under all kinds of things, and they can be quite difficult to find. And as it were here, looks like they, the Kenwood label on the front of the meter, the screws were hidden under that.
Another point to consider, too, and I've done this myself. I remember years ago I had an HW7 heat kit, and the meter wasn't working properly, so old Mike was going to take care of it. And I took the cover off the meter and started playing with it, and those things are very touchy. I recommend do not get anywhere near the meter movement if you ever make this modification, because it does not take much to take one of those little D'Arsenval movements and really goof it up to where it's almost impossible to repair. And the HW7 meter is not available, so that went on eBay as a parts radio. Anyway, back to you, Tom. Maybe we've got some questions on this.
Alrighty, anyway, and I think here they're talking about a couple of these LEDs at 100 millicandles. Obviously, these are very dim, so, but they're always great to light up your meters and stuff, though. Anyway, let's send it out to the group. Anybody out there with any questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group.
IZ has the question.
Yes, IZ. Mickey, go ahead.
Thank you on this. An interesting discussion about the LEDs. Now you've told me how I can light the LED up using the voltages in the radio. If I can find some voltage, and if it's an old radio, I can use the filament, AC filament, and a few diodes and a capacitor, and I can make some low voltage. But now, how do I mount this item in my radio? How do I mount it if it doesn't screw into the socket?
Well, that is a very good question. And I'll tell you what, there's a couple ways that LEDs are held in place. And a lot of them, of course, on equipment, they're soldered right into a PC board. But if you're going to have this go into a socket condition, that's a whole different application, of course. So they do make, it's like a little rubber grommet, I'm going to say. It's actually a holder that the LED goes in. Now, what does that do? Not a lot. Actually, it's just something to plug that into, and you still have to hook the thing up. But here's where you have to be just a little creative. And I would suggest using, you know, like a rubber grommet, something that the LED will fit into and will actually let that possibly even fit into the socket. It has to be a little tricky, a little crafty here. And actually, a good thing to do there too, if there's enough room, is to solder that resistor in line with one of the leads. It could be either lead, doesn't matter. And then at that point, it's just a matter of getting the polarity right. But however, the neat little thing here, and that's why they were talking about RMS and, you know, using them, driven from an AC source. Well, it's a diode, and it's only going to work in the forward conducting mode. So when the other half of the cycle, it's just going to ignore it. And of course, it's probably going to work about half brightness because it's only conducting during the one cycle. So you can actually use these with AC. You've got AC filament source. Don't have to actually get any more diodes out. And it's just a matter of soldering that resistor in line, or the resistor could go on the other side of the socket where it connects into the radio. So there's a couple ways, Mick, and maybe that's help, but I'll send it back to you, Mickey.
Well, I'll look around some of the junk boxes that I have and see if I can find some LEDs and play some games with them, see if I can make them work. WA6FI said.
You know, that would be kind of a cool thing, kind of a neat little project to do. I don't even know. I haven't researched this. As we have a lot of screw-in bulb replacements on household lighting, even the little mini halogens, the little 20, 30, 50-watt halogen spots, they're actually replacing those with LEDs now with same amount of brightness and about one-fifth of the power consumption. So anyway, I guess if you had an old base off of a lamp and carefully getting rid of the glass and the filament, you can actually probably get a little crafty there. I don't know. You have to be very careful with that stuff. So a lot of experimenting there, and of course it'd be pretty neat to come up with a base and just have something that's retrofit. So there's an idea. If somebody hasn't done it yet, get out there and do it, and just mention my name if you're making millions of dollars. Anyway, anybody else out there with any questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group.
KJ6PL.
Yeah, Cyril, go ahead.
My Mike was talking about where they hide the screws. I used to repair photo equipment for Berkey Photo and their Keystone operation. And all the screws and that stuff are hidden. The little metal plates, if you bend them, you're not going to unbend them. And I use usually a toothpick. I take a little jeweler's screwdriver, pry one edge of it loose, and ease a little bit of, on the metal, ease a little bit of acetone down behind it, and break that glue loose. Otherwise, if you don't, you got to be really careful. And if you're looking for the screws, if you tip so the light hits the decorative parts where it's always hidden, you'll see little depressions a lot of times. Sometimes you can feel them with your thumb. And with the plastic, don't put acetone on that because you have a little really big mess there. I use lighter fluid on that, and that worked pretty good. But you want to try it somewhere out of sight so that if it doesn't work, why, it doesn't look that bad. 86 PL.
And good information there, Harold. Yeah, that's, like I said, with anything else, it's always a little delicate working on that stuff. But that's the part that, you know, it's kind of neat. You know, you're doing something and you're upgrading something to something new. I think all of us, if you're working with stuff like this, just got to be careful. Always better not to break what you're trying to fix. If it's already broken, the light doesn't work, let's not break it more. And then we just simply have more stuff to fix. So another cool thing, too, some of these old-fashioned mechanical movements of meters, a lot of different things there. Just be very careful with the movement. You know, and there's some of these meters are almost impossible to find if you ever try to replace them. But we can actually cover that in a future Tech Tuesday. A lot of neat things you can actually do if you really want to dig down in there and help modify stuff like that. So anyway, anybody else out there, any comments or questions, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
FIZ with more info.
WA6FIZ, Vicki, go ahead.
Thank you. KF6Q, WA6FIZ, let's ID, and then I want to view that for a few minutes. I just looked on Google, and by gosh, you can buy a LED equivalent number 47 lamp. It's cost a lot of money, but it's never going to burn out. WA6FIZ.
And there you have it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. If we think of something here, it's already being done. how much is a lot of money? I know those lamps, are we talking dollars or multiple dollars there?
He got quick on the thing here. It's $6, and I assume there's some shipping involved in that. But I bet if you search around, you can find one cheaper than that. WA6FIZ.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, and that's a good deal there. So that's a very good purpose. I know that you can get out there and actually probably fabricate one, but you know what? Sometimes if you can find one already made, especially if it's $6 or less, I wouldn't mind spending $1 for one. And if I knew it was going to last forever, I wouldn't mind spending even a little bit more than that. So it would definitely outlive me. But very cool. Well, good deal, Mick. Thanks for looking that up. Appreciate that. So anyway, anybody else out there with any more information or questions, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group.
And that looks like 10 units, so you're really only talking 60 cents a lamp.
Well, hey, that's pretty cheap then. Okay. I think I can live with that. So what we need to do, Mick, is find everybody who has one of those that are burnt out, or just buy them, and then we'll start getting a stockpile of stuff like that for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We'll call it the spare parts box for the BBARC or something. But that's very cool. Well, thanks, Mick. Appreciate that. All right. Anybody else? Any questions or comments?
W6MCN.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, an easy way to remove some of those labels and plaques I found is to take a hair dryer on a medium setting, warm up the thing a little bit, and I've used a clean razor blade, and it slides right off.
Well, very good tip there. Yeah, heat. Blow dryers, and if you have a soldering station, you know, that's got a hot air gun, probably would work too, and that's all great stuff there. So, also, just for an FYI, as we're into the meters here, there are sites out there to, if you want to replace the actual printing of the meter, say if you got damaged somehow, there's actually a site out there which will print, custom print. It gets a little pricey, for a lot of different mechanical movement meters. So a lot of stuff out there for upgrading meters. Anyway, good information. Thank you. And we'll, once again, any other comments or questions out there for Tech Tuesday in the group?
G6PO?
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
If you want information on any lamp or bulb, my understanding, I haven't had any reason to go look on the website, but I've read several articles about it. And I believe it's called Don's Lamps and Bulb .com, and has all the specifications, cross-indexing. Now, this is what I've been told, what I've read. Cross-indexing, possibly sources, I'm not sure. You'll have to look it up, but my understanding is that there is not a bulb that has been made that he doesn't have all the specs on it on that website. So, and another good place to check, if they don't have stuff, I've been told or more than willing to tell you who might have, is RF Parts down in Escondido, AD6PL.
Oh, okay, good deal. Yeah, a lot of suppliers out there, so good information there. And like I said, that's always good to know where to find that stuff at. Anyway, anybody else? Any comments or questions?
KK6HB question.
I think we had two people in there, and the strongest signal will take him first. That's KK6HB. Go ahead, Bob.
I don't know if this is a dumb question or not, but I've got an Astron power supply, and it looks really neat, but is there any way you can light up a meter that never had any lights on it?
Well, you know what? I also have an Astron power supply that's actually powering the radio I'm talking to you on right now, and I just realized, you're right, there's no lights on that. Other than a little light on the on and off switch, but no lights on that. And yes, there is. Actually, it's a matter of just getting a little LED in there. I would probably experiment with, you know, just a white LED and a resistor. There's obviously voltages in there, and most Astrons are probably set for, you know, around 12 to 15 volts. So be a real simple resistor and thing to hook up. Of course, you want to be very careful working inside. And sometimes you can actually find, if you open them up, there might be a little hole in the bottom of the meter where you can slip an LED up in there without actually opening the meter up. So that's just a thought. I haven't actually tried that, but very good point there, Bob. And Bob, there are, all questions are good questions here. You know that. And back to you, Bob, just for a second.
Okay, Tom, yeah, thank you. I'll go ahead and open that up and take a peek, because I think it'd be worth doing. Okay, thank you very much. KK6AQB, go ahead.
Bob, keep us up to date, maybe next week or whenever you can get back to us. And I'd really like to see how you made out. All right, I think there was somebody else in there. Any questions or comments, please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
For info.
Sounds like Mick. Go ahead.
Well, one thing, if you're going to put an LED inside something like that, since they run very cool, you won't have to worry about a heat problem. I would put the resistor outside of the unit someplace. So.
Yeah, and I know it's really, it's into the milliwatt range of what it's going to have there, so it's really not an issue. Of course, back in the olden days, seems like about every resistor normally was about a half watt carbon, and of course now we have half watt, quarter watt, teeny tiny little eighth watt, stuff like that, and surface mount. Well, we don't want one of them, and we don't want to be able to see it. But you know what? Here, even with surface-mounted resistors, here again, you know, it just obviously be kind of small, but it'd be a little difficult to implement. So, but yeah, good deal. Yeah, keeping the resistor out and eliminating most of the heat. Good information there, Mick. Thanks a bunch. And we'll throw it back out there to anybody else. Any comments or questions?
ADL.
Okay, I think I had two people in there at the same time, but I did hear KJ6KDL. Is that you, Jim?
Hey, I finally made it on my Apple Watch. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. Not all light-emitting diodes are 3 volt. Some of them are made for the car at 12 volts. And some of them are daisy chained for various voltages. I found a website called Osnium. It's Oznium. Has quite a few LEDs. Some of them are pre-wired. Some of them are flat. Some of them are surface mount. Some of them are in tubes. Some of them look like little rods, you know, with several LEDs, so you can get cross-lighting, and for those people who have analog meters, some of them may be plastic without a metal backing. I know I have a plastic Radio Shack 100-watt power meter that does that, and you can put LEDs behind them and get them to glow, and you can get them in varying colors, not just blue. You can even get them in lower intensities, say closer to 6,000 or 4,000 Kelvin, and they would give you an amber glow for the evening. I heard somebody mention that. It might be too bright for night. So if you're interested, look up the area. You'll pay a few bucks, but it will make it a lot easier to upgrade. KJ6KDL.
Yes, Jim, and also, too, there's a lot of, there's even LEDs that are ultraviolet range, infrared range, just for all those listening still. Your remote control for your TV, VCR, DVD player, whatever, you point and click and something happens. Well, that's actually an LED at the end of that thing, and it's infrared, and you cannot see it, but it's still shooting a beam out there. So, yeah, there's a lot of different frequency ranges. Colors, yes, my gosh, they're all over the spectrum. Originally, the only one available a long time ago was red. And, of course, now we have, what do you say, amber and blue and green. And they will actually put two LEDs in one capsule. And one will be red and one will be green. And actually, they will, I think they actually, there a lot of times they're hooked opposite across each other. So they flow the current one direction for red and in the opposite direction for green. And I guess if you put AC, the red and the green would mix, you'd probably get amber. Wouldn't that be cool? How about that? Anyway, thanks for the information, Jim. Yeah, a lot of good stuff out there. Just be careful what you're looking at. Make sure it's not going to be too bright. Okay, we have somebody else in there with Jim. Go ahead. From KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Just a comment on the dumb question subject. I was always told that the only dumb question is a question that you didn't ask. 86 people.
Good point there, Harold. Yeah, and that's very true. And that's what Tech Tuesday is all about here. We're out here to throw stuff out there, get some good information, good topics, and generate the questions out there for people who, you know, want to know, for those who want to know. Okay. Thanks, Harold. Appreciate that. All right. Well, getting close to 8 o'clock, and just want to go ahead and throw out there any more comments or questions. Please come back, because we can always run in overtime. Not a problem.
KA9CQL.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Mike, KA9CQL Mobile. Just wanted to comment that if you have an infrared LED and you're not sure it's working, or if you hooked it up in your circuit and you don't know if you've done it right, take your cell phone, your smartphone, and put it in video mode and shoot that LED at your camera, and you'll be able to see it just fine. If it's lighting up, you'll be able to see it on your cell phone video camera, because the video camera can see infrared even though your eyes can't. It's a good way to test it. KA9CQL.
Oh, very good information. I know that I've used an old video camera outdoors at night, and of course they use a lot of infrared for stuff like that. Very good. Yeah, that does. That's a good test. Thank you very much. Good comment there. Anybody else? Any comments or questions? Please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
LAS.
Boulder Bay Bill.
Yeah, just a comment about, the power or the voltage or whatever on the LEDs. Let's not forget they're also 110, 120. If you look at your traffic signals, the older LED signals were all 110, 120 volts with multiple LEDs.
Yeah, and here's one thing, and I want to actually comment on this with you and actually what Jim had out there. The voltage drop across one LED diode is about 2 volts to 3 volts, and that's the diode itself. Now, they can be hooked in series, or they can actually be hooked into a lighting supply, and that's a whole topic in itself. But actually, what we're kind of working with here is the actual diode itself. And of course, they've been adapted to 120 volts and all these other, or 12 volts. But that's kind of like the adaption of that. And they will have either extra diodes in series to, like, say, three, if the drop was, say, on a blue diode was 3 volts, and you put four of them in series, your voltage drop will be 12 volts. It does not mean the LED is 12 volts, it's just the packaging it's in itself is now adapted to 12 volts, which is very cool, especially since cars and radios and a lot of stuff like that. So, and a lot of the 120 volt stuff, they actually have very special power supplies now. The older ones are very noisy, extremely noisy, and that was an issue. So now there's strict standards on adapting 120 volts to low voltage stuff, a good filtering and stuff like that. So very good point, Bill. Appreciate it. And Jim, that's a little more update on what you were saying earlier. Anyway, any more questions or comments to Tech Tuesday in the group? All right. Well, anyway, Mike, I'm going to hand it back to you real quick. Any last comments before we close Tech Tuesday?
I've had a few minutes here to play around on Google, and thanks to Mickey. There is a lot and lots of conversions, and I wasn't aware of that, for pilot lights and indicator lights. So, you know, if you don't want to make your own, the $695 is not bad for the lifetime of those things. I mean, geez, it'll last a lot longer than probably most of us will. So anyway, it turned out to be a pretty good article here at QSD, and yeah, I think probably the old indicator lights are probably starting to wear out by now, and LEDs is the way to go, and all you got to do is let your fingers do the walking. Okay, Tom, good Tech Tuesday. Back to you, WV6CLZ.
Yeah, Mike, it's always good to expand a little bit beyond the article and, you know, read between the lines of what they're trying to say and what else is out there. So, and we always try to do that here on Tech Tuesday, so... Anyway, a lot of fun this evening. pretty cool stuff and very adaptable to a lot of projects out there. So just so you know, there's actually a lot of different types of LED lights, laser diodes, and things like that. So whole field in itself, and you can actually do light beam communications with laser diodes or LEDs and sensors like that, so kind of cool. That is involved in the ham radio light spectrum, I guess. Anyway, all right, well, one last call for any questions or comments before we close Tech Tuesday.
One last comment before you close Tech Tuesday.
Yes, Mickey, go ahead. And by the way, glad to have you with us this evening.
Okay, it's always fun. Well, what happened was that my Tuesday net went long and I couldn't hear anybody. I could hear the guys back east, but not the locals, so here I am. Tomorrow at 10:30, a bunch of guys are getting together, and we're trying to do this every Wednesday now. So any of you that are listening that might be interested in this, on Wednesday morning, we're going to have a little coffee get-together at the Donut Shop, Greenway and Big Bear Boulevard at 10:30. So I'll just pass that along for any of you that might be available. Stop by, have a cup of coffee, a donut, and a bunch of nice guys get together and chat. We've been doing this for a couple of weeks, and it seemed to be working out very nicely. Just thought I'd pass that information on to any of you that that might like to gather and chat. WA6FIZ.
Yeah, Mickey, and I think it was a few weeks ago. Did you guys go to the Lumberjack and just kind of roaming around at different places, or... that sounds pretty interesting. I can't make it. I'm working at that hour on Wednesdays. But are you going to different places? Or sounds pretty neat, though.
It's like you're going to travel around. You know, it's not cast in plastic. So last week we went to the Lumberjack. I don't remember where they went. They may have gone somewhere else a week before that, but I wasn't there. Last week we went to the Lumberjack, and this week we're going to go to the Donut Shop in Big Bear City, Greenway and the Boulevard. And who knows what happens next week, but we'll just keep everybody appraised of what's going on, try to get the word out. WA6, you know, it's FIZ, you know, it's just an extension of the hams and eggs on Tuesday.
Okay, Mick, well, that's pretty cool, and of course, that's once a month. This is sounds like it's about every week, and yeah, if you can, or if Mike can, or somebody remember, this would be a good on Tuesday night right here, let everybody know, and which place you guys are going to meet at. So, very good. Appreciate that. All right. Once again, one more last call. Any comments or questions? Yes, go ahead.
Don't throw your article away, because that might be your lifesaver when you have a problem with an existing LED circuit, and you need to troubleshoot it. That might give you the little bit of information you need. AD6PO.
Yeah, very good information there. And I just also, too, another little sidebar note, tips and tricks and hints and kinks and all those other different articles that are in QST, and they've actually gone through in more detail experiments with the LEDs and some of the back articles. So if you're a member of the ARRL, you can always view all the back issues all the way back to 1915. And that's pretty cool. I don't know how much was available back then, but a lot of good stuff. So if you don't have the issue, or if you just are thinking about signing up the ARRL, all these past issues are all available. Once you're a member, you can go online. So anyway, one more call. Last call. Well, not the last call, but just another call for final questions and comments.
Thomas, AWL.
Yes, Art. Go ahead.
I'm still awake. I can't believe it. If you clear out of here and got a second when it's all done, give me a Verizon. I'll bring you up to speed on what's cooking.
All right. Good deal. I can do that. and we're about ready to get out of here for a second. So appreciate that, Art. All right, any other comments or questions before we close Tech Tuesday?
Big one here.
Well, not a problem, Harold. That's why we're here. Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that I think you can buy the Hanson Kink or whatever that is. I think it's published as separate books, isn't it? Two or three volumes of it, at least. Before I dropped it, before they got too expensive for me, I remember seeing that advertised as one of the books that they had, 86 PM.
You know what, as a matter of fact, I know they do, and that's also, too, if you can go online to ARL, they have a huge bunch of literature out there, good stuff, not always cheap. Some of those books are right around the $20 to $30 range, and some of the other ones a little more pricey, but always good stuff, and almost every topic under the sun, you know, for ham radio, so good point there, Hill. Yeah, they are available like that. Anybody else? Any more questions or comments? Well, we're going to call it an evening, and glad to have all the visitors out there. We got a few people here to add to the permanent roster, and glad to have you join us with Tech Tuesday. Always trying to get good information here each week and explore it out there, and good stuff we can use. So. All right, well, QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net, and we'll be closing the net this evening at, look at there, it's 8 o'clock, 20 hours and 10 minutes, or 8:11 p.m., I guess, and appreciate all of you joining us, all the new members who have joined up, and hope to see you again next Tuesday right here at this time, conditions permitting, and we'll all have a lot more fun with another article here from QST. And this is KF6Q returning the repeater back to normal use.